J. Michael Edwards here. Welcome back to the Majestic Academy's presentation of a verse-by-verse study of the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. We are now entering into some exciting times. Today, we take a look at something I am looking forward to, the Rapture of the Saints. My suggestion is you don't miss a word of this important episode. Now, let's join Pastor Don as he teaches a lesson entitled, Gonna Be Movin' One of These Days.
That's right, J. Michael, and I look forward to moving day, but the good thing is that on this move, there'll be no boxes to pack, no moving truck to pay for, and for our move, it's already been paid for by the blood of the Lamb, and we'll have no need for boxes. So, let's take our Bibles and look at the first verse of chapter 4. There's a lot here, and we're going to spend some time just looking at this very important transition verse. In Revelation 4:1, it says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Father, thank you for this precious, precious part of Scripture. Help me, Lord, to expound upon this and just explain to the folks here in the Academy exactly what this verse is talking about. We just give you the praise and the glory for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we move into chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, we are heading into a strange country. We just left the past as we dealt with the seven churches of Asia Minor. Yet, while we studied those churches, we came to understand that we were, in reality, very much in the present. Now, when we get to this chapter, we are about to step off into the future, or as I've been saying, the good stuff. This chapter and the one that follows takes us into the very throne room of God, where He can see ourselves and what we'll be doing when we get to heaven. After that, our focus will be primarily on earth until we get to chapter 21. What I want you to understand is that Revelation 4:1 is a special verse. It is very special. In fact, if you do not understand this verse, then you cannot understand the rest of the book. If you mess it up here, you will be out of step all the way through the rest of this great book. So sit up straight in your chairs and put those bunny slippers right on the floor and let's take a look at this. An illustration of what I just said is, have you ever buttoned your shirt, only get to get down to that last button and find out you didn't have a buttonhole to put it in? So you back up and see what happened, and you usually find that your problems begin right at the start. If the right button is not placed in the right buttonhole in the beginning, you are in trouble and things will never turn out right. And the same is so true with this chapter, this verse of this book. Since this verse is so vital, I want to take some time and move through it in detail today. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but this verse is all about our future. It tells us about the day when all the children of God will leave this world together. I want to show you the facts as they are presented in this verse. And I want to preach on the thought, it's going to be moving one of these days. We're going to be moving one of these days. And so the importance of this verse, it is a transitional verse. Notice that this verse begins with the phrase, after this. And it ends with the word, hereafter. In the Greek texts, these words are exactly the same. Both of these English expressions translate the Greek words meta tata. Now, this is not the first time we have encountered this phrase in this book. We can look back to Revelation 1:19. Meta tata shows up there too. John is commanded to write three different things: the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And there is our phrase. It is the Greek phrase meta tata that ties these verses together. What we have in Revelation 1:19 is the basic outline of the book of the Revelation. The things which thou hast seen points to the events of chapter 1, which we read. The things which are points to the events in chapter 2 and 3. The letters to the seven churches. Notice the last words of chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, capital S, saith unto the churches. Revelation 3:22. These events cover the history of the visible church from the days of the apostles until the end of the church age. Then we see the things which shall be hereafter. They point to the events that will occur after the age of the church has ended. And that's going to be important. We'll go over this a little later on. But chapters 4 and 5 find the redeemed saints of God in heaven, in his presence, worshiping him there. Chapters 6 through 19 deal with the tribulation period and with the wrath of God as he judges the sinful world and purifies his people. So, Revelation 4:1 is a very important verse that must be understood correctly if we are going to stay on track as we move through this book. It is also important because it signals a time of transition for the people of the Lord. After this point, the church is never mentioned again as being on the earth. This verse tells us about the day when we are going to be moving up to glory land, moving up to glory land. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Praise the Lord. So it's not only a transitional verse, it's a typical verse. This verse tells us that one man, John, was called up into heaven. Just one man is affected, just John. But in this verse, John becomes a representative man. John is a representative man. He pictures what will happen to all us, those believers who are living on earth when Jesus comes back for his people in the rapture. Now, I don't want to give away the rest of the message, but this event called the rapture is very important. When the rapture occurs, several events will be set in motion. The bride of Christ will be taken out of this world. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I'll tell you, I get excited reading these verses. Now, the rapture is called the blessed hope in Titus 2:13. And I thank God for that hope. And that word hope, by the way, speaks of a certain expectation. That's not like, well, I hope it happens. That's a blessed hope. Absolutely a blessed, blessed expectation. And then the Spirit of God will be taken out of this world. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit will be taken out of this world. The sinful, rebellious world will be plunged into the great tribulation. Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be." So this verse stands as a type or a picture of what will happen when Jesus returns for his children. Are you ready for that day? Matthew 24:44 says, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." We won't know when this will happen, but if you're not ready, if you're not born again, you will be left behind. You will miss the rapture. And then we see the illustrations of this verse. The illustrations. The book of Revelation is filled with signs, symbols, illustrations. Back in Revelation 1:1, we are told that he sent and signified it. Again, take that word signified and sound it out. If you do, it becomes signified or signified. In other words, the Lord tells John that he is going to reveal some of the content of this book in signs, signified, and symbols. If you have read the book of Revelation, you know how true this is. Jesus is pictured as a lamb. The redeemed saints are pictured as 24 elders. The New Jerusalem is pictured as a bride. And the Antichrist is called the beast. And there are many, many other examples that I could give. The use of symbols in no way changes what God says. Everything he says will come to pass as a literal event. He merely uses the language of symbolism to describe actual events. He uses symbols so that people of all generations will be able to understand what he means, like the beast. Everybody from the beginning to the end will understand what the beast means. Everybody understands what the bride means. So these are two symbols or illustrations given to encourage us in this verse. So let's look at them. It involved the eyes. John says that he saw a door opened in heaven. This phrase literally means that there was a door standing open in heaven. This is the third door we have encountered in the Revelations thus far. So let's look at the doors as we have seen them. We see the door of service. In Revelation 3:8, the church in Philadelphia is told, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." This is the door of the gospel opportunity and service. Then the church is a biblical and walking entity after the will of the Lord. He will set before it an open door of ministry. He is doing that with the church in these days. The door of salvation, Revelation 3:20. Those in Laodicea are invited to open the doors of their hearts to let Jesus come in. The lost heart is closed to Jesus, but if it is open, he will enter and he will save the lost soul. We see a door of summons. Revelation 4:1, this open door in heaven becomes a door of summons. Those who are saved will one day be called up to go through the open door into heaven. What a day, what a day. The door of splendor, Revelation 19:11. One day heaven will be opened again. This time, it will not be to allow people to enter. It will open to allow Jesus to return to this earth with his church. He is returning in splendor, power, and glory to stamp out evil and establish his kingdom. Also involved the ears. Not only did John see a door, John heard a trumpet. This is a language of symbolism. He said, "The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me." What John heard was not an actual trumpet, but a noise like that of a trumpet, piercing, loud, and demanding attention. Trumpets were very important in the life of ancient Israel. Numbers 10:1-10 gives God's instructions for the use of trumpets in Israel. They were to make two trumpets of silver. There were different types of trumpet blasts for various occasions. The trumpets were blown when it was time to break camp and move. The trumpets blew to announce sacrifices on feast days. Trumpets blew to summon priests to the tabernacle. Trumpets were used to sound an alarm in a time of war or danger. It was very important that the people listened to the various trumpet blasts and that the trumpeters made the right sound. You can read more about this in 1 Corinthians 14:8. Trumpets also figure heavily in the New Testament, particularly in connection with end-time events. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 shows us that there will be a trumpet that will sound signaling the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15:52 also speaks of a trumpet sound in connection with the rapture. Do you see the connection? It appears that God will use a trumpet to sound a signal to his people when it is time to depart. I don't think this world will hear it, but we were implanted with a special listening device the moment we were saved. We will hear that trumpet sound. When that trumpet sounds, it will be time to break camp and move off to glory. When that trumpet sounds, it will signal a declaration of war on sin and this evil world system. One of these days, a trumpet blast will sound and the saints will leave this world forever. And can I get a couple hallelujahs out there in the academy? Praise the Lord. John says that this trumpet was a voice. I wonder if this is not the voice of the Lord Jesus calling for his people. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we read this, but we are told that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. When Jesus comes, that trumpet will call the living up, but it is his shout that will call the dead. Look at the New Testament. Every time Jesus shouted in the Bible, there was a resurrection. He shouted at the tomb of Lazarus, and Lazarus got up. He shouted on Calvary, and many of the dead saints arose. He will shout at the rapture, and all the redeemed will hear his voice and come out of the grave, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. I do not know what Jesus will say when he comes. He may say, "Come up hither." He may say, "Come forth." He may say, "Come home." Whatever he says on that day, his voice will cause gravity to lose its hold on these bodies, and we will be changed into his likeness, and we will fly away to our heavenly home. Wow. Wow. Again, this is the good stuff. Then, thirdly, we see the implications of this verse. There is a river of glory running through this precious verse. Let's not miss the implications of this for our lives. It speaks of a deliverance. John is told that he is going to see things what be hereafter. He is referring to future things. It won't be long until we move into Revelation 6 and beyond. When we get there, we are going to encounter details of events too horrible and amazing to comprehend. When we come to chapter 6, we are going to witness a vivid description of the events of the tribulation period. Now, I think it is significant that John is caught up into heaven before the tribulation period begins. As I mentioned, John is a representative man. He pictures the church and its removal from this world before the horrors of the tribulation period begin to unfold. And that is exactly what the rapture of the church is. It is a rescue mission. I used to be in the Coast Guard. We had to go out and rescue a lot of people. It's the same thing in a much grander fashion. This is a rescue mission. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, again, Paul uses the words caught up, to describe what we call the rapture. Yes, we know the rapture, the word rapture does not appear in the Bible. But don't let that throw you, because the word grandfather does not appear either. I wonder if we got any granddads here. I've got some grandchildren. The word rapture is a Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo, which is the word translated caught up in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The word harpazo literally means to seize, to carry off by force. If you saw your child about to be hit by a car, and you ran out and snatched that child out of the path of that oncoming vehicle, saving your child's life, then you have the meaning of this word. It has the idea of rescue from danger. Again, we saw a lot of fishermen and boaters that we had to go out and rescue from danger. It's the same thing. There is a terrible time of danger coming to this earth. God is going to pull his children out, and he is going to pull his spirit, capital S, out too. He is going to break off diplomatic relations with the world. Then he is going to declare war on sin and sinners. He is going to take his church out before that time comes. Don't believe these other, these other religions that teach that we as Christians, God's children, will go through the tribulation. This simply is not true. And as we get through with this lesson, you will understand why that's the truth. Some people believe that the church will be here for the tribulation, as I just said. They say the church is so filthy and so impure that God will leave it here to be cleaned up during the awful time. Let me just ask those people one question. What could the tribulation possibly do for the church that the blood of Christ cannot do? Yep, there is sin and sinners in the church. But when we are caught up, we will face Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account of our deeds and lives. But sin was paid for at Calvary. Praise His name. Let me share a few reasons why I believe the church will be rescued before the tribulation period begins. Our salvation was delivered from His wrath in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 5:9. We are looking for the blessed hope, not the horrors of the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the wrath of God. Titus 2:13. I hope you're writing these verses down and studying these for yourself. The biblical types suggest that we will be taken out before the rapture. Enoch was removed before the flood in Genesis 5:24. Lot was removed before Sodom was destroyed in Genesis 19:22. There is a clear pattern. God removes His people before He manifests his wrath. And we can talk about Noah and the ark. Noah and his family were rescued before the flood came. One of the proof is found in Revelation 2:7 and 11, 17, 29, Chapters 3, verse 6, and verses 13 and 22. In these verses, Jesus uses these words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit," capital S, "saith unto the churches." Let me read that again. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Remember those last five words, "the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, look in Matthew 13:9 and verse 43. Jesus says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." There's no mention of the Spirit or of the churches. Of course, this verse was before the church was formed and before the Spirit was given. Now look at Revelation 13:9. This verse says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." You see the difference? Before, Jesus says, "Those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then, in Revelation 13:9, the verse says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." Jesus does not mention either the Spirit or the churches. Why? Because they have been removed at the rapture. Praise God, we will not be here for the tribulation. What we see is exactly what happens in our world when war breaks out between nations. When hostilities begin to rise, one of the first things a nation does is call its ambassadors home. The Church of God's ambassadors, we are ambassadors to this world, in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Before He declares war on the earth, He will call His people home to be with Him. Thank God we are leaving before the worst happens. Now, some years ago, when Billy Graham was preaching at the University of Hawaii, he was talking about the second coming of the Lord, and one of the students said to him, "Mr. Graham, doesn't this matter of the second coming of the church seem like an escapism to you?" And Billy Graham replied, "Well, perhaps it does, but, young man, before Satan gets through with this old world, we're all going to be looking for the exit signs." And I agree with that. One of these days, we will be glad for the fact that Jesus is taking us out of here before things get real bad. As bad as it is today, we haven't seen anything yet. Let me just note here that nothing says that we won't face tribulation before the rapture. I believe that we will. not to the same level as it will after the rapture, but I believe that we're going to see some persecution before the rapture. Anyway, let's move on. It also speaks of a destination. Not only is there going to be an escape, praise God, there is also going to be an entrance. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, when we pass from this world through that open door in heavens, we are going home. We are heading to that place Jesus promised to prepare for us. All right, I remember when I was in the Coast Guard, speaking of that again, I remember being out for 3 or 4 months at a time, and then we turned around to go home. And wow, we were so excited. The last couple, 2 or 3 days seemed like forever as we got nearer and nearer to our port. But then we come and we see our families on that pier, and we pull up and we throw those lines and we moor to that dock, and our families come running to us. Wow, what a time that was. And it'll be just like that in heaven. As we see our loved ones in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to run and we're going to do some hugging, I'll tell you that. When we arrive there, we will join the saints of all ages in the presence of the Lord in this city. Imagine Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints all together in that city. Imagine the martyrs of all the ages, the preachers, the faithful church folks, all together in glory. Imagine that city free from the curse of this world, free from death, free from pain, free from sin. Imagine seeing Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Ghost. Imagine that day when we go home. One day we won't have to imagine, for we will be there. Jim Hill got it right when he put his pen to his paper and wrote these words: there is coming a day when no heartaches will come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Well, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Join me on the chorus now. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Praise the Lord. There are some exciting days ahead for the church. We are about to leave this world behind forever. And that is the message of this verse. This verse says we're going to be moving one of these days. The question I have for you: are you in this verse? John was called up to heaven. One day every saved child of God will be called up too. Will you be in that number? When the Lord comes and raptures his church, will you go with him or will you be left behind? If you are saved, then praise his name. There is a great day coming. If you are not saved, then Jesus comes tonight while there is hope, and be saved before it is too late. What has the Lord said to your heart today? Are there needs? Then you come as he calls. Open your heart to Jesus. Do you believe he died for you? Do you believe he rose again? Do you believe you're a sinner? For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But God loves us so much. He He demonstrates his love. Even though we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a matter of believing that Jesus died for you and rose again. The Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith, not of by works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto salvation. Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Are you born again? Jesus says in John 3 that if you're not born again, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Romans 10:13 says, if any man call on the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Are you a whosoever? Would you like to be saved tonight, today, this morning, whenever you're listening? Are you ready to be saved? Say a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again, and I ask you into my heart right now to be the Lord of my life. Say that prayer, meet it in your heart, and you're saved, the Bible says. You're on the way to heaven. Praise God. Well, what a great verse, Revelation 4:1. One of these days we're going home. How I look forward to that day when I see Jesus and I run into his arms and he hugs me and I hug him and he says, welcome home, my child. What a day that's going to be. Wow. Next time we take a look at Revelation 4 verse 2. Another great verse. But until then, keep looking up and listening for the shout.
J. Michael back. Wow! Great preaching and a song too. Thanks, Pastor Don. But what a lesson that was. Would you agree with me that this is the good stuff? And it's just the beginning. You will not want to miss any episode from now on because every episode will be filled with the good stuff. Until next time, keep looking up and listening for the shout.